around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We thank you for allowing us to come into your home and to share the word of Almighty God. We've got a new method, a new means of people who want to support the ministry from something that's called Tithely, T-I-T-H-E.ly. And if you will go there, and you'll get there through a phone number, and that phone number will allow you to text an offering or a tithe to the Voice of Evangelism. That number is 1-828-600-5022. And you'll dial that number and just text, and then it'll come up and say give, and you'll just put in the amount you would like to give. And it's just that simple to support the ministry here at the Voice of Evangelism. This is for all of you techno-knowledgeable people, not for me, but for those who are really savvy, who use their phones and practically everything that they do. I don't do that. I like to do things with paper and emails. I even struggle with those to some degree. But we have found another method that might help expedite matters for you. Again, that number is 1-828-600-5022, and that will help you if you're interested in supporting the Voice of Evangelism. That'll be a means, a mode, a method in helping us to carry the gospel of Christ literally around the world. Needless to say, our world is quickly changing, and changing very fastly. Each one of us need to ratchet up our prayer lives. We need to come into a greater depth, a greater presence, and a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Before we get into the program today, I want to play a song. It's an old, old song. It's the first time I heard it, I was just a child. It's in what we call the old Redback Hymnal. The Redback Hymnal books that you'd find in many churches, and they would sing from the hymns. And this is one of the great, great old songs, simply entitled, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. When you talk to Jesus, He changes things. But more than that, when you talk to Jesus and you get up from your knees, your circumstances may not have changed, but your outlook has been changed greatly by the power and presence of God. Listen to Brian Free as they do Just a Little Talk with Jesus.
My name above and
without a doubt, talking to Jesus makes everything all right. We are in the 107th Psalm. We're going to begin today at verse 22. I pray today that this is encouraging you. We got an email just the other day from a gentleman who his initial thought was, well, Pastor Lankford, that's going to be boring, Psalms 106 and Psalms 107. But after he took the time to listen, he hasn't missed a program because he was getting so much from it. Let me say this. Don't ever diminish the Word of God, even in the genealogies. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. There's a reason for that. Don't ever diminish the Word of God and think that, well, that psalm is not that dynamic, not that powerful. There's a reason God has given us the Bible. And, of course, regretfully, many people don't see many things in the Scriptures because they don't have eyes to see, neither do they have ears to hear. But when you, my friend, are living and walking in the Holy Ghost, living in the Word of God, you will quickly get things from the Word of God the natural man fails to see or to receive. We want to pick up today in Psalms 107, verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare his works with rejoicing or with singing. True worship is only found in the Spirit. Let me say that again. True worship is only found in the Spirit. There's a lot of music. There's a lot of entertainment. There is a lot that's taking place in churches today, yet there's no true Spirit-filled worship because you have to have the Holy Ghost in the church if you're going to have Spirit-filled worship. Jesus said of God, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How do we worship God? We worship God in the Spirit, and we worship God in truth. If a church is not preaching the Word of God, and there seems to be worship, ask yourself, is that truly godly, Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled worship? Is it? Is it? If you don't have both the Spirit of God and the truth of God, what you have then is a charade. You cannot have the Word of God, the truth of God, and not have true Spirit-filled worship. If you don't have truth and the Holy Ghost, remember the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Truth in John 16, verse 13. Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God. When the Holy Ghost shows up in your church, you know that God is there. And you see, we are to worship God in sacrificial sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Did you know that you and I are living stones, all because we are placed upon the chief cornerstone, which is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord? I want to share a passage today from 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to notice who and what the people of God are to be. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envyings and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Men rejected the stone, but the stone was chosen by God. The stone is a precious stone. Verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let me stop there just for a minute. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which is nothing more than true thanksgiving, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. If a man has not been washed in the blood, if a man has not been plunged in the blood of Jesus, if the blood has not washed away his sins, whatever he offers to God is not acceptable. God rejects it. God spurns it. God casts it aside. You have so many people today who are purported professing Christians, and they live like hell. They drink. They curse. They watch pornography. They commit fornication. There's a weekly commentator named Guy Benson who is on Fox News constantly. He declares he is a gay Christian. A gay Christian. Well, I got news for Mr. Benson. That's an oxymoron. The Bible condemns sodomy. The Bible condemns sodomy. I read an article just the other day where a guy is suing the courts because he wants to change his age. He says if people can change their names, if people can change their gender, he said, I want to change my age. He said, I'm 69 years old, but I want to be 49. I qualify better for loans on mortgages, car loans. And he said, and it would help me to get better jobs because I'm younger and I'm not on the trash heap of life. Now, I guarantee you, they'll say, well, you can't do that. But yet, you can change your gender. You go to bed a man, and you get up the next morning, you say, hey, I'm a woman. Or you go to bed a woman, you get up the next morning, you say, hey, I'm a man. This is the asininity that's crept into the church. And I'll tell you why it's in the church. The Bible is no longer preached, and the Holy Ghost does not ever move. I don't care how godly, how close you walk to the Lord, how much you pray, how much you fast, when the Spirit of God shows up, when the awesomeness of God is manifested, it prostrates us. It humbles us, whether we want to be humbled or not. When the Spirit of God comes into a building, and the Spirit of God broods over a sanctuary or an assembly of believers, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, the Spirit of God, because of the dynamic of the power and the deity and the preeminence, causes men to say, my God, I'm in the presence of God and I need to humble myself or repent of my sins. Peter said, ye also, as lively stones, living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. The church is the spiritual house. The church is the body of Christ, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The only sacrifices that are acceptable to God are spiritual ones. Any other kind of sacrifice, it may be a sacrifice on your part, but God does not receive it on. That's why God made it even for the poorest poor. Under the Old Testament, you may not be able to offer up a turtle dove or a goat or a ram or a bullock. And so God said, for you poor people, I'll let you give me a meal offering, M-E-A-L, M-E-A-L. Meal, like a cornmeal, flour. That's all they had. But you take that and you mix it with some oil, you could have some type of bread. See, even Jesus is the bread of life. So he's relating to every aspect of humanity. He is relating to every aspect of humanity. Now, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace of God given to me to every man that is among you, that a man ought not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God's already given you a measure of faith. I don't know how much that measure is. It could be a thimbleful. It could be a 5-gallon bucket full. I don't know, but the Bible declares that God has given every man a measure of faith. You, my friend, are to present your body a living sacrifice, holy. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning all of yourself. You give it to God. By the way, for those of you who don't believe in giving, that means God gets your pocketbook. I get so tired of arguing with people about tithing and giving. You're not saved. I'm going to say it again. You're not saved. Even the widow woman gave 2 copper coins, 2 mites. And they people say, well, you pray that God would lead us to a good church where they preach the word of God uncompromisingly, but we're not going to support it. But we want God to lead us. Hey, I'm not going to waste my breath praying for God to lead you, because if you can't do the ABCs of Christianity, you'll never get to D, E, and F, my friend. Do you hear me? You won't get there. You can't get there because God doesn't have all of you. All God only has is what you want him to have. You don't give God your all. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You give God what you want God to have. And that's why some of you out there are in such a mess. I'm going to quote it again, this verse, Psalms 107, verse 17. Because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities are they afflicted. You have ruined your life because you won't listen to God. You won't listen to God's servants. I've never seen such hypocrisy. Oh, I'm a devout Christian. No, you are not a devout Christian. You are a devout narcissistic person because you're narcissistic in everything that you say, everything that you do, it's all about you. See, when you deny yourself daily and you pick up your cross, that means I'm dead. I'm dead. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Having preached scores and scores of funerals, I can say all the grand braggadocious statements I could make before the decedent. They don't smile. They don't raise their hand and say, yay, or give me a thumbs up while lying in the casket. Never. And if I were to say that was the most low-down, slothful, vile, wicked person I've ever known, they don't respond to that either. You know why? They're dead. Now, wasn't it a great dichotomy? Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Cross-bearing means I don't get it my way. I can't have it my way. I can't do it my way. I can only do it God's way, because that's the only way that counts. Then we're told here in Romans 12, you present your body a living sacrifice. That means your money. That means your time. That means your talents. That means everything that you have, you willingly give it to God, and you say, God, use this if you can. This is why we preach sanctification. We preach sanctification. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does the word sanctification mean? It means to be set apart. Many listening to me today, you're not set apart unto God because you won't give God everything. When you take anything, let's say you come home and you make $1,000 a week, and you come home and you set that $100 off to the side and you say, that's God's. Now, that money's not to be used for anything but God. You set it apart. You set it apart. You know, I've never failed to be amazed that people argue and fight you over, I didn't know there were so many ways to tithe. Having pastored for 27 years, I heard of so many ways to support God's work. They're all man-made except tithing. But then they'd say, well, you only tithe on what you bring home. You don't tithe on what you make. What does the Bible mean when it says first fruits? Is that what you bring home or is that what you make? You pay taxes to the IRS on what you make, not what you bring home. You say, well, they got their part. What I bring home is different. No, it's not. Not in God's eyes. Jesus said, you give unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and you give unto God what is God's. You see, it's called the Old Testament, the New Testament. Do we see anything in the New Testament that's contrary to the Old Testament in giving? No, we don't. Had God made another economical provision, he would have explained it in the New. But we all know that the word tithe simply means a tenth. But what I've come to understand is these people do not sacrifice sacrifices of thanksgiving. I heard a man say one time, he said, boy, if I ever come into money, I'm going to be a bigger giver. And I thought to myself, you'll never come into bigger money till you start giving bigger money. Why? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Paul said, don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. People want to be so spiritual, yet they don't live the ABCs of Christ, the fundamentals. They're clamorous, they're evil speaking, they're charlatans, they are pretenders. They want a title, they want a name, they want recognition. Of course, they don't want to pay the price. They don't want to go the right way. They want to do it their way. Well, you may be like Elvis Presley and do it your way, but if it's not God's way, it's a wicked way. I said it's a wicked way. When the Spirit of God takes charge of your life, you're always evolving. Not more carnally, but more spiritually. You see, even Peter used the same terminology there in 1 Peter chapter 2 about the milk of God's Word. You need to get off the milk and get on the meat. It's disappointing for me as a pastor to have to part your mustache to put a bottle in your mouth. You need to be on the meat and the potatoes. You need to grow up under this lively house, this living house. This house is God's. The church is Jesus Christ. And the church belongs to Jesus Christ. It is his body. It is flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. When he said he added to the church daily such as should be saved, every time someone becomes saved, they're added to the body of Christ, his body. Notice what David said, the psalmist here. I'm not remember which one it is here that wrote Psalms 107. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. Are you thankful? Or all you do is grumble and bicker and complain about the way things are? Most people grumble, bicker, complain. They don't care. Here's what I've learned about some hypocrites. They don't have a fear of God. They'll say they'll do anything. Did you see the segment the news the other night that was a borderline country western bar, California, where the ex-Marines shot and killed 12 people. And one of the mothers of one of the young men that was killed. Now, he escaped Mandalay there in Las Vegas. He was there and escaped getting murdered there. So it shows you the lifestyle he was living. So now he goes to this bar or borderline, whatever it was called there in California. He gets shot by this ex-Marine. If you think I'm making this up, Google it. His mother is being interviewed on television. And out of unfathomable remorse, grief, yet you can see the bitterness, she said, "I don't want no more of your prayers. I don't want any more of your thoughts. Do you hear me? I don't want any more of your prayers. I want gun control." And I sat there and I said, "You lying, two-timing news media pundits will say every time, our thoughts and prayers are with you. You guys don't pray. Why do you want to get on the air publicly and say to the people who have suffered harm and loss, our thoughts and prayers are with you? You're a lying hypocrite because you don't ever pray about anything. If you were enveloping prayer in your life, you wouldn't be picketing to keep abortion clinics open. You wouldn't be a believer in same-sex marriage. You wouldn't believe in all of these ungodly, wicked, vile abortion clinics. Don't tell me your thoughts and prayers, because the Bible says the exact opposite about who you are. Psalms 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. God is not in all of his thoughts. Don't say to these poor people who've suffered some great tragedy, our prayer and our thoughts are with you. God said, you're not in my, I'm not in your thoughts. These people don't think about God on ABC, NBC, CBS News, CNN. They don't think about God. They don't have daily devotions with God. They don't daily read the scriptures. The Bible says they do none of those things. Oh, he does say they honor me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. But he said, their hearts are far from me. So that's what that woman was talking about. I'm tired of you saying, me suffering this tragedy, I'm in your prayers and thoughts. She said, I don't want that anymore. Well, ma'am, let me tell you, you're not getting it. They're lying to you about their thoughts and prayers. They're out for numbers. You see the statistics. So-and-so had 2,800,041 viewers on NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox News. It's about numbers. I have people out there say, Tell me what your numbers are on Blog Talk Radio. Tell me what your numbers are on YouTube. I don't care what those numbers are. That's carnality. When I was the last few years I pastored in the Church of God, I put down no numbers on my reports. Now, brother, that ticked them off too. And I got a letter. You need to put numbers. How many you had on Wednesday night? How many you had Sunday morning worship service? How many sermons did you preach? I mean, just on and on. And I said, hey, put down what you want to. I said, because 9 out of 10 preachers lie about those numbers to make their church look bigger than it is. So you put down anything you want will be fine with me. You see, this is what we've come to in a world. This is all it's about. Money and numbers. Money and numbers. That's what's wrong with the church. Money. You hear more sermons preached on giving than anything else. Hey, how about preaching if people don't repent, they're going to go to hell? They can give till they have nothing left to give, but if they don't repent, they're not going to make it. Paul said, if I give my body to be burned at the stake, so what is that? And see, these men are charlatans. These men are pretenders. Now, it takes money to run ministry. I'm not sitting here bashing that aspect of it. I'm bashing the part that's all they preach. That's all they teach. It's called the prosperity message, the prosperity gospel. Well, go preach that in Ethiopia. Go to North Korea to the church underground and preach that garbage that you can ride around in a Mercedes-Benz, jump on your jet airplane, have all this opulence and prosperity. That message won't preach over there. That's all you need to understand, that it's error. It's wrong. You can't preach. The gospel is to be preached unto every creature, Jesus said. What's the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you do not accept what Jesus did for you on the cross, you will not be saved, period. Oh, but I've done so much. I've done so much good. I've given blood at the blood bank. I go down to Goodwill and I donate and I get donate my time. That don't save you. The man I shared the other day, shooting the black tar heroin, died. And my wife said, well, one of their posts preached him right into heaven. Nobody goes to hell. James Brown didn't go to hell when he died. He went to heaven. There were those who said he died, I think it was around Christmas Day some years ago. There were those who made light of it. God wanted to give his son Jesus Christ a birthday party. So he brought James Brown to come up there and sing. That's right. That's a lie. The wicked do not inherit eternal life. Wicked people have no spiritual thanksgiving whatsoever. All they want to do is gratify the flesh. I want to feel good. I want to do my thing. I want to do what I want to do. And if I ever get ready to accept God, I will. There's no guarantee that God will ever deal with any of us again. God doesn't owe mankind anything. Jesus paid it all when he died on the cross. He doesn't owe me one thing. He doesn't owe you one thing. God does not owe mankind anything. God gave his son Jesus to redeem us, and he paid such a price. And so the psalmist cries here, let us sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. The word rejoicing there means with singing. Ephesians 5 and 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody as unto the Lord. This is what it's all about. That's worship. That is worship. Great worship. You know, people will go to football stadiums, 60, 70, 80,000. 80,000. You know, I'm going to make some of you mad here because you're Dallas Cowboy fans. I love it every time Dallas loses a football game. I do. You say, why do you feel like that, Pastor? Jerry Jones. You see, he openly said one time, I heard him say it, he made a deal with God that if God would let him win a couple Super Bowls, he would do something. I think he's won three Super Bowls since he bought the team. Now he's trying to cut another deal with God because he hadn't won anything since Jimmy Johnson left him. Their egos got in the way and it destroyed a great franchise, a great team. Arrogancy and pride. They divide people. I believe it's Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. See, when I get these crass, smart emails, I get all these arrogant, stifling emails, I see what's behind it. I see the spirit behind it. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. So when the email I get from people sometimes are automatically, blatantly issued to me with contention. Well, why is that? Because they're proud. And so, just like with the Dallas Cowboys, it divided an owner and a coach. You know, as one fella said, owners own and coaches coach. Coaches don't own and owners aren't qualified to coach. You know, I never failed to be amazed out of all the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours I've spent studying the Bible. A two-year-old convert feels just as qualified as I am. 40 years in ministry and tens of thousands of hours in Bible study. Yet somehow they feel just as qualified. Or to stick ministry or minister on their name. Well, who's the minister there? Who did God call? Who did God call? Who recognized your calling as a group of brethren and set you forth, laid their hands upon you, and anointed you with oil and said, go in the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Who did that? If that didn't happen to you, you're not called. You're self-appointed. You're just self-appointed. We got so much of that in the church. We got so much fakery in the church. It's fake preaching. It's fake news, as Donald Trump said. It's fake preaching. It's fake teaching. It's not real. It's not a bit more real than if I were standing on the moon right now doing this program. It's not real. But, oh, they want you to believe it's real. It's not. Let me move on here to Psalms, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. I looked at that the other day, and I'm like, Lord, you got to help me with this one. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. First of all, Paul did his missionary work and traveling by the sea. Remember the storm you rocked in Acts chapter 27? That do business in great waters. There's no greater business than the business of God. All of Paul's, or most of Paul's missionary trips were by sea. And it was to go out and carry the gospel. Business. The word business in the Hebrew there is ministry. God's work. Jesus said to Mary and Joseph after they had lost him, and they came back to Jerusalem to find him, and they found him in the temple teaching the scribes. And Mary says, son, why have you troubled us? It's in Luke 2, 4, chapter 2, verse 49. And Jesus says, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? My Father's business? And in verse 24, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. These see the works of the Lord. In other words, anybody that's ever traveled any distance to another country, you've been on a cruise ship. I was in a cruise ship some years ago. We were coming back. We went to a prophecy conference with Brother Marvin Rosenthal. And we were coming back to Baltimore, Maryland, to get off the ship. But there was a front that came off the East Coast, and we had waves 20, 30, 40 feet high. That boat was being rocked like you wouldn't believe. And I'm not being ugly here, but people were puking everywhere. I mean, I felt so sorry for the people who worked on the ship. They cleaned up so much puke. It was unbelievable. And of course, I told my wife, I said, come over here and sit beside of me. And let's try to keep ourselves composed. And she or I, neither one, begin to vomit. None. But I was astounded at the greatness of that, of the waves and what they did to that ship. That ship was like a matchbox in a tub. You slap the tub of water with your hand and it'll make that matchbox go every which way. That's what was happening to that ship. And there was no way to get around it because this front was all the way from up in Boston all the way down toward Louisiana, a frontal line coming across. And there was no way to get around it. It was impossible. Fortunately, it wasn't devastating in the sense that it would turn the boat over, but it was unbelievable. And what it makes you realize is how powerful God can be if he so chooses to be. He says here, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Now, notice what he says in verse 25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Now God doesn't do that in every storm. Some storms, because of Satan, he's the prince of the power of the air. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he's the prince of the power of the air. He has a way of also creating havoc. When this wind came out of the four corners of the earth and smote Job's eldest son's home and killed all the children at the eldest son's home, that was the devil created that storm. That's what Satan does. I'm just saying God can do that if he so chooses. That's what the psalmist is saying here. The psalmist is reminding us of how God used the eastern wind and parted the Red Sea. And Israel went across on dry land. So the psalmist says, for he commandeth and raiseth or maketh to stand the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. He did that when Israel crossed the Red Sea. Jehovah controls it all. When Jonah was in rebellion and disobedience, God created a vast storm, and the men were fearful for their lives. And they were going to drown, but they cast lots, and their lot fell on you know who? Jonah. Jonah told them the truth. He said, if you throw me overboard, the storm will cease and the calm will return. And they asked God not to charge this to their account. And they threw Jonah overboard and the boisterous sea ceased. And then God prepared this great fish, this whale, swallowed Jonah. Jonah died. That's why Jesus used that analogy about himself in comparison to Jonah. He died. And in the depth of the belly, he cries out, God, I'm willing to preach. So the whale goes to the seashore and barfs Jonah up. Jonah's still disgruntled about what God has called him to do, to preach revival and repentance to Nineveh. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 8, they go to cross the Galilean Sea. This unfathomable storm comes up. They're afraid they're going to drown. Here's Jesus coming, walking across the water. He gets into the boat. Now, there are several occasions of this story in different Gospels. But here in Matthew 8, this particular time, he was in the hinder part of the ship, and a bad storm came up. And so they go back there, they wake Christ up. They say, don't you care whether or not we perish? Sure he cared. So he goes to the bow of the ship, we read in Matthew 8:27. He rebuked the sea. He rebuked the wind. And there came this placidity, this placid, peaceful rest across the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible said, and the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the sea and the winds obey him? What manner of man is this, that even the sea and the winds obey him? Obey him. Powerful. That's who he is. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Man has ascended to the stars. Man has descended to the depths of the sea. But when the stormy seas or the meteorite showers are manifested, man soon realizes his insignificance. When you look at the power of volcanoes, of earthquakes, of hurricanes, you witness the magnitude, the gravity of these storms. When you understand the reality there, you realize just how insignificant you are. Just a speck of dirt. Luke 21:25, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." When the stormy seas or the meteorite showers are manifested, if you have any fear, reverence, awe of God, you realize, man, I'm insignificant. I am truly, truly, truly insignificant. Men's hearts fail for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. I don't need to tell you there's coming a time of fear. There's coming a time of despair. There's coming a time when men's minds will be so perplexed. When you say to someone, "I'm in a perplexing situation," or "I am perplexed," what you're saying is, I have only two choices, and neither choice is any good. It's not any good. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter which avenue I choose, the both of them are poor, poor, poor choices. David in Psalms 46:1 said, "God is my refuge and strength, a present help in trouble." Psalms 50 verse 15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall suffer the righteous to never be moved." God says, the word "suffer" there in both Hebrew and Greek means God will not suffer, allow, or tolerate you to be moved by the power of the enemy. I love Psalms 41, verse 11. "By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me." How do I know God favors me? Because the enemy has not been able to destroy me. Some of you listening today, the devil for years now, he has tried to destroy you. For years, the devil has tried every possible means, every possible mode, every possible method to destroy your life. But God says, no, you're not going to destroy them. You may hinder them. You may impede them. You may encroach their lives. But Satan, you will not stop them, because their heart is fixed. Their mind is set to me and me alone. They want eternal life, and I've promised to give them eternal life, and because of that, they're committed to serve me. It won't be long. Ginsburg's going to die. It don't take a rocket scientist. It don't take a word of prophecy. She's going to go. Trump's going to put another justice on the Supreme Court. We as believers, we have to quit living and fretting everything. Some of you today, you fret almost everything around you. You just have you have this spirit of fear. You have this spirit of fear. God wants you to stop fearing. He says so many times throughout the scriptures, God says, fear not. Fear not. How many times did God speak to a man, speak to a woman, and the angel would say, fear not? What does that tell you? It tells me this. There was something to fear, or he would have never said, fear not. See, Satan wants to put fear into your heart. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, as we come humbly to the throne of grace today in the closing of this program, I rebuke the spirit of fear and of anxiety that's in people's lives. Lord, show them the power of prayer, that if they will just pray and acknowledge you, if they will just come humbly before the throne of grace, they're going to find everything they need for their lives. God, I pray for every home, every family, every marriage. I pray in the name of Jesus. Those who feel vexed and tormented today, Holy Ghost, I invoke the presence of God into that room right now where they're sitting and listening to this program. I pray the Holy Ghost of God will descend in that room and that the Spirit of God would brood over their hearts, their minds, and their lives right now and bring tranquility and bring peace and serenity and placidity. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, receive peace. Stop the warring within their minds. Stop the spinning of the gears in their minds today, Lord. Holy Ghost, put your hand, put your spirit around their heads right now and stop that tormenting, vexing power from hell that seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. God bless. God bless them with power. God bless them with Holy Ghost power. God bless them with that dunamis, anointed power that only you can give to mankind and set them free, I pray today, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke the spirit of anxiety. I rebuke the spirit of trepidation. I rebuke everything that Satan is trying to wield into the hearts and into the minds of the people of God. Lord, Psalms 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I'm preaching your word faithfully. Take the word that has been preached. Take the word that has been spoken. And Lord, carry it and place it into the bosom, into the mind, the hearts, the spirit of those listening today. And let God arise. And let the enemies, and the hordes, and the hounds of hell, let them flee and let them run by the power, the Holy Ghost power of God. God, break every chain, every mental shackle, every mental fetter that tries to hold men captive. Break that chain. Break that yoke. Those who want deliverance from cigarettes, from alcohol, from pornography, Lord, break that chain right now in the name of Jesus. Just send the word. Just send the word, Lord, and I know they will be made whole. Just send the word of God. Pierce the brokenness. Pierce the hurt. Pierce the pain. Pierce the sorrow. Pierce, Lord, that brokenness. From whatever created the brokenness, pierce through the brokenness, Lord. Pervade and permeate their hearts and their minds. Bring healing, deliverance, and restoration, Father. Take this simple word today magnified 100 times to those who want to shake off those heavy bands, who want to lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And Father, we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it's in the beloved name of your Son Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, and our soon coming King. We ask all of these things, Father, in the name of your Son Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow at this same time. In the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.